Rob, this is Shema Ha'oretz in Brefi. So, Moshe Rabbeinu makes, as if talking to the heaven and earth, saying, you listen to me. Said Rashi, why did Moshe, of course, I mean, this is a poem, and the whole nature of a poem is not to express things directly, but still, I mean, that itself is to be understood. Why do we express the idea of talking to the Jews and telling them, of course, to keep the Torah, which is the purpose of Parshas Hazino, in such a way as if Moshe Rabbeinu addresses the heaven and the earth? So Rashi says, because I want them to be witnesses, Shani Master Kohen B'Israel, V'tiyu Atem Eidim B'Dovor, because I need you as witnesses. Shekach Omarti Lohem, She'atem Tiyu Eidim, right, V'lo Mo'eid Bo'em Shamayim Bo'aretz. And why did they need witnesses for? Because Omar Moshe says, Ani Boser Vodom, I'm only a human being, I'm here today, tomorrow night. If the Jews say we don't accept the pact of keeping the Torah, who will come to disprove them? This is the testimony that is forever. And the witnesses themselves will give their reward. That the vine will give its produce, etc., etc. What is the meaning? What does it really mean, what Rashi says, that he needs witnesses? And here there is another Maimar Chazal that says like this. Lomo, I'm reading now from the Perot Mimo, from the Medrash. Lomo heid Moshe b'Yisrael et ha-shomayim v'ta'oretz. Why did Moshe need witnesses for? Because Omar Lohem, because he said to them like this, Shemo, perhaps, Atem Sivurim Livroyach Malkan Peyashchino, maybe you will think you can escape. Oy lo zul me'al oretz. So, you'll go away. Da, she'ashomai v'oretz mo'idim, Avoinchem, they'll still be around and they'll say all about what you did. So, what is the real meaning behind this idea that that Medrash brings down, that in Moshe Rabbeinu is warning them in case you want to escape from the Torah? What does it really mean, the escaping of the Torah? Why should the Jews assume that you can escape from the Torah? What is this exactly? What's really going on? So, the answer lies in the original bris, the original pact that God made with creation in the beginning. Now, creation was originally made with a pact. The pact was that nature will react, will be susceptible to human behavior. That was the original pact that God made with nature. Right. This is the meaning of Vayar Hashem Ki Toiv, when he keeps saying Toiv, that everything that God creates, he sees as good. What does it mean if it's as good? It's good as long as good is done, as Tov is done. The moment non-Tov is done, then it's not so good. Okay? Now, the first test of this pact is Odom Orishon sinning. The moment Odom Orishon sins, nature all of a sudden is not so good to man, right? And it comes to its peak, to its highest level in the generation of the flood. Then man completely disregards the word of God. At that moment, nature reacts accordingly, completely disregards the needs of men. At that moment, nature is not good, right? Nature is just reacting to the non-goodness of men, right? So the fact that there was a pact between God and men and nature, that was something that was well known. But now a new situation started. The new situation is the following. Up to this point, goodness, Tov, was a universal standard. I mean, there was no such a thing as for me, this is good, but for you not. Tov is Tov for everybody, right? Until after the Noach. So there are Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, so everybody has to give Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, right? But all of a sudden, after Sinai, we have a double standard of Tov. Jews have one standard of Tov, and everybody else in the world has a new standard of Tov. So now the question is, does the pact adjust to the Jewish standard of Tov, or to the universal standard of Tov? Do you hear the question? That is the question, and this is what Moshe Rabbeinu has to tell them. The point is, why tell them now? Says Rashi, that's what Rashi is hinting to. Because as long as Moshe Rabbeinu is around, there is no Jewish pact. What does it mean? Because the Jews in the desert did not depend on nature at all. Meaning, their well-being had nothing to do with how nice nature is to the Jews. Because everything that the Jews had came beyond nature. You know, it's in a direct divine influence. You know, God directly gave them man. God directly took care of them in war. God directly gave them water. There was nothing that had to go through the pipeline of nature. Right. But now, says Moshe Rabbeinu, I am dying. And that era of Lemaila Miderech HaTeva is ending. Now you are coming to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is Jew relating to nature again. And therefore, the original pact will be reestablished, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, so Moshe Rabbeinu tells them the following chiddush. Number one, nature now will become sensitive to your behavior. In other words, now nature is vulnerable to what you do, not only as a good person, because as a good person, you don't have to keep Shabbos. As a good person, you don't have to eat kosher. You can be a good person without eating kosher and keeping Shabbos. But nature will become sensitive to your standards of what's good. And for you, if you don't keep Shabbos, if you don't eat kosher, right, it's not good. Nature will react accordingly. So now, why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to say it? Because it's very easy for the Jews to say the following. After they come into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu is not around anymore, and they'll say like this. Okay. We will definitely be honest, because honesty is a universal value. We'll definitely be not killers, because if we are killers, then of course it's a transgression of the universal values of Tov. But Shabbos, why should we keep Shabbos? And if we are not so careful with Shabbos, we'll still be successful in business, because business, in other words, nature, agriculture, rain, is not vulnerable to, is not susceptible to my keeping Shabbos, because it's not a universal value. Comes Moshe Rabbeinu and warns them, no. The laws of nature have changed, there is a new pact, and I want you to know that nature will be completely susceptible to your keeping the Jewish standards of goodness. Okay? So this is the chidush. Hazino Hashamayim v'adabeiro, v'sishma ha'oretz, they are witnesses. And why does he use the idea of witnesses? Because according to the halacha, whenever somebody has, a certain sentence has to be carried out, right? Somebody deserves the death penalty. You know who actually throws them down the cliff? The witnesses. Yad ho'edim tiyeh boi borishoino. It has to be the aid that carries out the sentence. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is using the analogy of the Shomayim Vo'oretz of nature as witnesses, as if to say, they will carry out the sentence first, right? You won't do mitzvahs, there won't be any rain. Nature becomes sensitive to your behavior. Now, when Moshe Rabbeinu told them this, right, he has to explain the different levels of that new relationship between Hashem and the people. So he tells them, Pasuk Bet. Ya'aroiv kamotor likhi, which means, basically, that the Torah will come down like rain. El tizal katalim rasi, which is a repetition using the analogy of the dew, rain and dew. Another one. Ki siyirima le deshe, siyirim like strong winds that bring the water over deshe. What is deshe? The mantle, the covering of grass is called deshe. Vechirvivim ale yeses, says Rashi, and the individual drops on individual blades. Okay? Now, listen carefully to the analogy here, because it's crucial to the understanding of this new hashgochen. Now, what is the difference, say the Meforshim, between rain and dew? Rashi says it right here on the spot. What is the difference between rain and dew? Rain makes the tree grow, and dew makes the tree grow. What is the difference? The difference is the following. When it rains, it's true that the earth will get soaked and the tree will grow well, but the travelers will also get soaked, and they'll be cursing. Why does it have to rain so much? While the farmer is very happy. Which means like this. Rain represents symbolically the situation that God has to act in a certain way, because the situation requires it, even though individual people may find it unfair. Do you hear the concept? Rain represents this idea, this type of hashgoche, this type of providence that causes built-in unfairness because the situation calls for it. As opposed to dew. What is the difference between dew and rain? With the dew, the plant becomes moist while the traveler is dry. You hear? In other words, with dew, the relationship between nature, right, and man is such that those that don't need the rain won't get the damage of the rain. You hear the difference? It's a crucial difference. Rain represents the hashgoche when God is separated from the Jew. And then he has to react, right? Meaning, God gets angry at a certain city. So something will happen to the city. So even though there will be some innocent people, right? But the situation called for such a reaction. In a hashgoche, which is much closer, God will act like the dew, not like the rain. In a situation that we compare to the dew, right? Nobody will suffer if he doesn't deserve it. But Moshe Rabbeinu says that the hashgoche is both levels, depending where we are. If we are very close to God, then the relationship will be compared to the dew. The moment there is a tremendous gap, then the relationship of God will be compared to the rain, and then we can't help but that the innocent should suffer. You hear the two levels? And the same parallel is repeated with Se'irim Alei Deshe in Revivim Alei Esev, according to Rashi. What is the difference between Deshe, which is the mantle of greenery, and Esev, which is the individual blade? Same idea. The Deshe is parallel to the rain. In other words, that is the Hashgoche Klolis, the general providence. Not taking the individual into consideration. Meaning, the individual will suffer because of the whole. Which means, you have a large mantle of green, you cover it with water, but some blades will get too much water, some blades will get too little water. That's part of the system. But what about if you are going to water each blade separately? Then each blade will get exactly the amount of water it needs, but that requires an individual care that you only get if Hashem is very close to you. Which means, Hashgoche has a level of motor and of tal. Deshe and Esev. That's Hashgoche Klolis, that's Hashgoche Protis. Okay? Now. The third Posuk can only be understood according to this introduction that I gave you in the first two. Because what does the third Posuk say? Kishem Hashem Ekro, when I call out the name of God, Hovu Goydel Elokeinu, you praise God. And the Gemara learns out all kinds of halachas from this pasuk. Kishem Hashem Ekro Hovu Goydel Elokeinu. What does it mean? For instance, as an example, three people ate, so they have to bench, right? When they bench, they mention the name of God. well, when we all are going to mention the name of God, there is an obligation that one of us should call out to invite the rest to praise the name of God, and you all agree and say, Baruch Shochanu Misheloi. I'll say Nevorei, and you say Baruch. How do we know? Because Kishem Hashem Ekro. Because when the situation is such, right, that we are together, we are going to praise God, we have to call out and invite the praise. Another situation. We are all going to daven Ma'ariv, right? So we are going to say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Chol Ha'Asher B'Dvorei Ma'ariv Ha'Rovim. Yes, we are going to praise God. So wait a second, don't start right away. You must call out the name of God and say Baruch Hu Es Hashem, right? And you'll all answer Baruch Hashem Amvorech Lelom Voed, right? Meaning, from here we learn out all these halachas that have to do with praising God when His name is going to be mentioned, which is very nice. But what does the posuk? How does the posuk fit here? It should be anywhere else. Why here? What does it have to do with what we just said? So it says like this, that in reality, when we say brachas, right? When we say brachas, Hashem Barivore Mariva Rovim, or something else that we learn out from this posuk, the Gemara learns out in brachas. In the Gemara in Brachas, in Chof Aleph in Brachas, the Gemara learns out, how do we know that before we learn Torah, we have to make a bracha? Asher bo rabbonu mikol amim v'nosalon esteir asor. Why do we pray? Because it says, ki shem Hashem ekro, learning Torah is shem Hashem. Right? All relates to the shem Hashem. So hovu godel elokeinu, I have to make a bracha. Why here? Why do we mention it here all of a sudden? The answer is the following. We might have thought that the reason why we make a bracha for Torah is because our souls benefit from Torah. That's what we might have thought. Comes the Torah here, Moshe Rabbeinu tells you, this is not the real reason why you make Birchas HaTorah. You know why you make the Birchas HaTorah? Because your body benefits from the Torah. You physically benefit from learning, from keeping the Torah. Right? This is why we say Birchas HaTorah. That was, Torah has it in its power to give us everything we want. We keep the Torah, nature will give us everything we want. Where does it say? In this first of Psukim. That God said that nature is a witness to our keeping of the Torah. We keep the Torah, nature will be good to us. We don't keep the Torah, nature will be bad to us. Therefore, the blessing of the Torah is blessing for this, for the fact that nature will be good to us if we keep the Torah. Okay? So, this is the secret that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jews now. You should know a new era is starting. Nature is going to become sensitive to Jews keeping Torah. Okay. Big Chiddush. So, what has to be the next part of Moshe Rabbeinu's speech? The answer to the obvious question. The obvious question will be, but Moshe, we don't see it. Right? You are making it sound like a perfect system, right? We are good to God, nature is good to us. You are making it sound like a perfect system. Is there such a perfect system? What about the righteous who suffer? What about the wicked that is successful? The wicked man who is successful? Right? That's what you're going to ask. So here is your answer. Pasuk 4. Listen to Pasuk 4. Here Moshe Rabbeinu gives the answer to the question that according to the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu asked. Tzadik v'rala, Rosh HaVetoyvli. What is the answer? Now, this is an amazing pasuk. Listen to this pasuk carefully, because there is a parallel to this pasuk that we say every Shabbos that requires, of course, an explanation. Listen to the answer. Hatzur, God, which is very odd. Why would we call God with the word Hatzur when usually it's either Hashem or Elohim? Why Hatzur? Very unusual that God is called Hatzur. In a few places He is. God as a rock. Hatzur, the rock, Tomim Po'oloi. Tomim Po'oloi means that whatever He does is not 99% fair. Right? It's 100% fair. You may think it's completely unfair. And if I tell you, well, maybe all in all, there is a certain fair, not a certain fair, it's 100% fair, Tomim Po'oloi. So this is the first statement Moshe Rabbeinu makes, that our questions about the unfairness of God's ways are wrong because everything he does is perfect. So maybe you're going to answer, fine. Maybe God's ways are fair at the end. You know, at the end, everything will fit in and everything will be fair. But in the means of how God reaches that point, maybe there is an unfairness in there? Wrong again. Ki chol drochov mishpot. Even the paths that lead to the end are all mishpot with justice. Even the derech, even the path is right. Not only is the end right, but even the means are right. Right? So you're going to say, so how come I don't see it? How come I don't see it? Because it's not something that can be seen. While it's happening, it can only be believed. You can trust God. You can't see the righteousness of God. You can only trust the righteousness of God. Keil emuno. It's a relationship that's not based on seeing, but in believing. Keil emuno. You hear this? Keil emuno. Once you believe, then end over. Nothing that God does is unfair. Now, not that God does fair things, but every once in a while, certain unfair things are bound to happen. No. Everything that happens which seems unfair is really not unfair. Ain't over. Why? Because Hashem is tzaddik. Tzaddik means he is the essence of tzaddik. He is justice alone. Okay? Now, in another word, maybe somebody will say, yes, maybe at the end of days, everything that happened in history will make sense. But in a very convoluted way, like this led to this, that led to this. You know, in a very convoluted way, everything God did was right. Wrong again. God did everything right in the shortest possible way, in the most direct possible way. Because the word yoshor, what does it mean, yoshor?
Straight.
Straight means that if you go from point A to point B, right, you choose the most direct way. Everything that happens in history was never convoluted. It was always straight. It was the direct way. Except that to us it seems convoluted because we don't understand it. Tzaddik ve'yoshor hu. Okay. This is how Moshe Rabbeinu answers the question, right, which is automatically raised from the introduction that he gives. Now, there is an amazing parallel to this pasuk that we say three times on Shabbos. Three times we say on Shabbos. Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. Remember the Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. That Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos is an amazing chapter. If you say Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, this is a song concerning Shabbos, what are you expecting? A song that will say how wonderful Shabbos is and what we do on Shabbos, right? That's what it would seem, right? You just go through the Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos and you realize that Shabbos is not mentioned once, which is extremely odd. How can a song that has the introduction, the heading is, this is a song for Shabbos and it is absolutely nothing to do with Shabbos, and more, the subject discussed is on the surface completely strange to Shabbos. Is there a Siddur? Yeah. Let me just go through fast the chapter, and we'll come to the last pasuk, and you will see an amazing thing in the last pasuk. Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. This is the heading. Listen to this heading. Toiv le'hoidosh l'Hashem. It's good to praise God. Ulezamer l'shimcho elyon, right? It's good because to praise God's name, etc. Maybe we'll go. Kisi machtani Hashem efolef. Everything God does brings happiness. Mag godlu basecho. God's work is so incredible. Me'oid omku machshoisecho. Of course, there's such a tremendous depth to everything He does. Ish ba'ar lo yeido. Uchsi lo yominizes. Of course, anybody who is not super intelligent will never understand it. So what is the subject now? So come to the point. The point is Bifroyach Reshoin Kmo Yesef. When we see a wicked man becoming successful, right? Which is the basic question of unfairness. Vayotzitzu Kol Koyal Eyoven, and all people who do wrong things are successful, right? That's what bothers us, right? Now I see that at the end, their success is their destruction. Because, but the more above Hashem, because you are above and you control everything, all the enemies of Hashem will be destroyed, right? Because Tadikatomari, I'm just going through very fast, just the idea of, don't worry, the Russia that seems so successful, that's not success, that's destruction, right? The Tzadik, Katomori for Kersbaboniske, because eventually Shulamavis Hashem Bechazes Menafichu, Oidinom Betsevo, etc., etc., etc. And he concludes. Listen carefully and remember Posit 4, right? Hatsur Tomim Poloit Hodokar. Lehagid Ki Yoshur Hashem. To tell you, this tells you, Ki Yoshur Hashem. Hashem is straight, Yoshur. Unusual. Not very often is Hashem described as Yoshur. Suri, he is my God. He's my God. So listen to how he calls my God. My Tsur. Amazing. Of all the names of God, why would he use the word Tsur? Veloi Avloso boy. There is no Avlo. Now listen to the parallel. It's amazing, the parallel. What? How do we call God in our posture? Atsur, right? And we say, Einovel, Veloi Avloso boy. Tzadik V'yosher, Ki Yosher Hashem. The parallel is so amazing that obviously we have to realize that the Mizmor Shir LeYoyim HaShavos is an interpretation of this pasuk. So now we have to understand, what does Mizmor Shir LeYoyim HaShavos really mean? What does it have to do with Shabbos? Okay, now, we have a tradition that Shabbos represents the return to the beginning. Like he says, the word Shabbos is very closely related to Tshuva. Now, things go back to where they really belong. This is why Shabbos brings menucho. Because there is no menucho, there is no tranquility until things are in the right place. Only Shabbos has that power to bring everything back to its right place. So, the weekday is when things are moved out of place, and Shabbos, everything else, everything comes back to its place. So if we can experience, if we can plug into that experience, we actually will feel that tremendous menucho. Okay? Now, this is in our own personal life. But the world has its own Shabbos. The same way that a human being has his own Shabbos, the world also has its Shabbos. And that process of weekday and Shabbos is a continuous process. What is the process? The weekday represents things going out of place, like if during the week when things are happening, so of course you move the knife to this place and the fork to over there, but eventually, right, everything will come back to its right place. But if you are short-sighted and you look only at the temporary situation during the week before everything came back to its right place, you will see disorder. You won't see any order when things are moved away from its place. But this is only because you just came in the middle, you are not seeing the end. Okay? So, the weekday, right, is compared to the world still in upheaval, still moving around without the Shabbos. The Shabbos represents the eventual coming back of everything to their roots, to their right place, right, to the tranquility of the world, Shabbos Menucho. Okay? So therefore, Shabbos represents the eventual understanding of the world. That those wicked people who were successful during the week, when the real Shabbos will come, when everything will come back to its proper place, they won't be successful anymore, because success doesn't belong with a wicked man. Okay? Which means that the world is in a process of weekday and the eventual Shabbos. And we say it on Shabbos, we say like this. In the Birkas Krishna. What do we say on Shabbos? Mizmor Shir Leyom HaShabbos? Mizmor Shir Le'osid Lovoy. Remember, there is a statement in the Birkas Krishna that says, what is Mizmor Shir Leyom HaShabbos? It's not for the weekly Shabbos. It's for the eventual Shabbos. Le'osid Lovoy U'menucho Le'chayei Ho'ilomim. And that menucho which will be eternal, not temporary like our weekly Shabbos. Our weekly Shabbos is just like a foreplay to that eventual Shabbos. Do you hear this idea? In other words, every week we sort of play, right? We act out the eventual Shabbos in order to get used to the eventual Shabbos. But that eventual Shabbos is the real Shabbos. This is why we say the real meaning of Mizmor Shiliyot HaShabbos is partially the weekly Shabbos, but the depth of its meaning is the final Shabbos, the Menucho Lechaye Olamim, that final eternal tranquility. That's what we say. In other words, what Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos tells you is the essence of Shabbos. The essence of Shabbos is when things come back to their proper place, when everything fits and everything is tranquil and everything is calm because nothing is out of place. That is the essence of Shabbos. So what it sounds in the beginning as a song about Shabbos that doesn't mention Shabbos at all, it's not true at all. That is the real Shabbos. The real Shabbos is when everything will come back. And as we say in the Lechod Oidili Kras Kalof Ne Shabbos Ne Kablof, right? That everybody knows. I mean, that's, of course, a Shabbos song, right? You pay attention to the Lechod Oidili Kras Kalof Ne Shabbos Ne Kablof, and it has more paragraphs that has nothing to do with Shabbos than things that have to do with Shabbos. Right? I'll just read it to you. So a few of them are clearly Shabbos, like the first one, Shomor V'Zochor V'Dibur Echod. That's Shabbos, Shomor V'Zochor Shabbos. Next one, Likra Shabbos Lechu V'Neilcho. That's Shabbos, no question about it. But the third one, Mikdash Melech Ir Melucho. Right? You know, it's Yerushalayim, the Ir Melucho. Kumitzeim Itoichav Feicho. Just come out of that Afeicho, that everything is mixed up. Afeicho, Afuch, everything is mixed up. Rav lo shevet v'imakabocho. It's enough the crying that you did. Everything should, Yerushalayim should be rebuilt. Now, what does that have to do with Shabbos? Right. Clear. Because when things return to where they belong, that is Shabbos. Next one. Hisnari meyofor, shake off your dust, kumi, livshi bigdei sifardich, put on the beautiful clothes, ami, my nation. Al yad ben ishai beisalachmi, right? Right away ben ishai will come, kover nashigolo. So put on your beautiful clothes. You know, this is referring to the Jews. What does that have to do with Shabbat? Obviously, the Jews belong, right, with their dust shaken off, beautiful clothing, right, coming towards David ben ishai, right? The coming of the Mashiach is the return of the Jews to where they belong. That is Shabbat, okay? Hisori kivo oireich, kumi oiri. Right? Again, a reference to the Messianic period. What is that to do with Shabbat? Because the Messianic period is the period when Jews will come back to their rightful place. Right? And loisei voshim and loisei kolmi. Don't be in a state of shame and embarrassment like you are today, your Jewish people. Right? Venivne soir al tilo. Again, the rebuilding, when everything will be what it's supposed to be, and so on and so forth. It's all about when things will come back to where they belong. This is Shabbos, right? So Lechod Oidi is all about Shabbos. Somebody who reads it on the surface will be shocked. This is a Shabbos song. When it mentions only in three places, it mentions Shabbos and nothing else. Because the whole thing is about Shabbos. Shabbos is the return of everything to where it belongs. Okay? So this is the reason why Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos, the theme is eventually everything will fit. In the meantime, that can be compared to the weekdays. It seems unfair, but it's all fair. Lehagid ki yosher Hashem. What is the purpose of this song? Ki yosher Hashem. Hashem is yosher. Except that we don't see the yashrus until Shabbos. Right? Suri. He's my tzur, my support. What does it say in our pasuk? Hatzur tomim po'oloi. And listen to this in Parshas Kisiso. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu asks God, Hareini no es kvoidecho. Please tell me your kovod. Says the Gemara. What did he mean by that? He meant to ask, tell me, how are you running your world? Lomo tzadik v'raloi rosho v'toidloi. Why do we see unfairness in the world? Right? So it says Hashem passes by and tells him, you can't see my face, you can only see my back. Right? Says the Gemara, what did Hashem show him? The kesher shel tefillin. That's all. Not the front of the tefillin, but the kesher shel tefillin. The hint is obvious. You can only understand what happens after it happened, when everything fits in, right? The kesher. What does the word kesher mean?
Connection.
The connection. When everything connects, when everything passes and everything connects, then you will see the meaning. Where was Moshe Rabbeinu when God was passing by? Al Hatzur. Now, that is not a coincidence at all. The Tzur represents the relying on Hashem that I can't see His face. What is the meaning of not being able to see God's face, but Moshe Rabbeinu could see God's back? Seeing the face is understanding something before it happens. Seeing the back is only understanding something in retrospect. Even Moshe Rabbeinu can't understand things before it happens. He can only see after it happens. We will also be able to understand everything after it happens. But when will it be the kesher shel tefillin? Shabbos, the eventual Shabbos. Okay? So this is the meaning of this pasuk of Hatzur Tomim Po'oloi. Hatzur Tomim Po'oloi is the answer to all questions that anyone can have after Moshe Rabbeinu introduced the subject of nature being sensitive to man's behavior. So the question is, so if nature is so sensitive, how come there is so much unfairness? This is the answer. Hatzur Tomim Po'oloi. At the end, when the real Shabbos will come, then we'll see the perfection of God's behavior. Ki chol drochot mishpot, then we'll see how everything fits in. Meanwhile, kele muno. Meanwhile, we can only react to it through emuno, not through seeing. We can't see it. We can only believe it. Because ein ovel tzadik v'yoshorhu. This is the meaning of this pasuk. Now, there is another midrash. In Ya'aroif kamotor likhi, the Midrash says like this, Ya'aroif kamotor likhi. Now, how it's translated, I don't know, Ya'aroif, how does it translate? To fall strongly, to sprinkle, how does it translate Ya'aroif?
To drop.
Oh, that's a more general. Ya'aroif is usually stronger than Tizal. Tizal is a slower drop. Ya'aroif is stronger. Says the Midrash, Omar Rabbi Eliezer ben Noisher Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yosi Aglili, says, here it says Ya'aroif kamotor, right? And by Torah by Eglo Arufo, what word is used when we hit the back of the head of the calf? Remember, we hit the back of the head of the calf. When we don't know who killed the victim, it's also the word arufo oire. So what do we learn out from that? The same way that eglo arufo is mechaper on our sins, right? One of us was a murderer and is mechaper. The same way the Torah, that's yaroi kamotor likhi lekach is Torah ki lekach to. Nosati lochem. The same way, Torah is mechaper. Torah is a mechaper. Okay? Torah is mechaper. So, in one commentary it says, what is the comparison between Poro Adumo, right, and this statement, Yaroif Kamotor Lichi? What is really the parallel here? What is Poro Adumo? Eglo Arufo. When do we bring an Eglo Arufo? What is the situation? The situation is that somebody committed a murder, right? And we can't find the murderer. Okay? Now, what does that represent, that situation? What? Imbalance. You know, it's a situation of unfairness. Man made unfairness. Our investigations didn't bring results. In other words, if we can find the murderer, so then, of course, we'll bring justice, right? But here, there is no justice, right? So what do we do? So there's a whole process of Iglo Arufo, right? We won't go into it again. We once spoke about it. How Iglo Arufo represents the idea of the awareness of the lack of justice. In other words, that there are situations where we can't fulfill justice, right? And that recognition is a recognition of our own flaws, which means if we would be perfect, all murderers would be found out immediately, right? But the less sensitive we are to human life, the less sensitive we be, the less we are able to punish the guilty, right? Because the more just we would be, the more justice will come out, because it's part of the balance of nature. Okay? So it says like this. Torah has that power too, right? It can also take care of situations where an imbalance has been created. That imbalance can be filled, the gap can be filled through Torah. But we find the Shemesh Shmuel says something here, which is very, very interesting. It says like this, the Sheikh Arizal, he says like this, this is not just a thing that Torah can be mechaper. There is a lot to the statement, Torah is mechaper. What it means is the following. Listen to this. There is a very difficult Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says like this. Listen carefully to the words, because people don't catch. Se'ir ha-mishtaleach, right? The Se'ir ha-mishtaleach that you use on Yom Kippur, mechaper al kol averos. That's mechaper on all the averos of the Jews. Ben shoigeg, whether a person did it intentionally, unintentionally, ben mezik, whether they did it intentionally. Ben noidalohem, whether they found out that they sinned. Ben loy noidalohem, maybe they didn't find out that they ever sinned. The Seir HaMishtaleach somehow creates a kaporet. In other words, it regains the balance. Okay? Ubilvad, but as long as she'oso tshuvo, as long as you do tshuvo, then the Seir HaMishtaleach works. Once again, Seir HaMishtaleach mechaper al kol avodas bnei Yisrael, ben shoigeg ben mezik. Right. Let's say I committed an avera b'shoigeg, and I was never able to balance it out, to rectify it. So Seir HaMishtaleach will take care of it. I did an avera b'mezik. Seir HaMishtaleach will take care of it. Seir HaMishtaleach is something incredibly powerful that takes care of that imbalance created by all my averas. Right? Beinoida, whether I found out of the sin that I did. In other words, I stole and I knew that I stole. Or I can steal something and I don't even know that I stole. Right? I either forgot about it, or I thought it was mine. Right? Seir HaMishtaleach will take care even of that sin. Ubilvad, with one condition. Say, also tshuvo. I have to do tshuva first. What does that mean? I have to do tshuva for a sin that I don't know I committed? How do I do tshuva for a sin that I don't know I committed? You have a problem. Isn't the first condition of tshuva recognition of the sin? That's what Rambam says. You have to recognize the sin before you do tshuva. Yeah. So says Shem Shmuel, an incredible chiddush, and b'shem de Arizal says like this. Listen to this statement. This is a statement we make every Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. After we say all the different judgments that God could have passed for the Jewish people, he said, but there is three ways that you can change the judgment. Utshuvo, utfilo, utzdoko. Through tshuvo, through tfilo, and through tzdoko, you can change ma'avir in esroyak zero. You can change the judgment. Now, what does tshuva mean? Does tshuva mean what we call tshuva? Then that should include tfilo also. In other words, if I do tshuva, so I'll pray better. And I'll give more tzedakah. Why do we separate into three parts? Say the commentaries, because this is keneged, this fits, tshuva, tfilo, tzedakah, fits with a chapter in Pirkei Avos that says like this, the world stands on three principles. What are the three principles the world stands on? Torah, avodo, gmilos chasodim. Torah, avodo, worshipping Hashem, and gmilos chasodim, and helping each other. If tzedakah parallels what? Gmilos chasodim. And avoido parallels tfilo, what does tshuva parallel? Torah. Toiro, Avoido, Milos Kasodin. Tshuva, Filo, and Tzedoko. Obviously, Tshuva means a return to Torah. What does it mean, a return to Torah? A return to Torah means that you become less vulnerable to sin. Or the more you become involved in Torah, the less vulnerable to Torah you become. I once mentioned this analogy. Let's say a person decided that he's not going to eat non-kosher food anymore. Okay? And he goes, all of a sudden, he has, what time do you have?
I don't remember.
Just a few minutes more. So, and somebody invites him, a few business partners, they invite him to to a restaurant. And he hasn't eaten for 10 hours, right? So he's very hungry, and he has peer pressure. And altogether, he breaks down and eats non-kosher food. Now he wants to do tshuva. So says the Rambam that there are two methods you can use to do tshuva. One method is failing for it. This is one way. This the Rambam calls tshuva she'eino gemura. What is tshuva gemura? Tshuva gemura is when I change myself to the point that I can go back to the same restaurant with the same friends with the same 10 hours not eating and order the same food and still I won't eat non-kosher food. That is tshuva gemura. Not that I have to go through that situation, but I should change myself to the point that my failing point will be raised. Oh, so that's what it means. Yaroif kamotor lichi, that according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yosef, really means that Torah itself is mechaper. This is what it means. That you can do tshuva without thinking about any one specific chet, without any one specific sin. You can do a general tshuva that applies to all your sins. So this answers the question. Which of the two tshuvas requires, for sure, a knowledge of the sin that you committed? Only the circumstantial tshuva requires the knowledge of the tshuva, right? You have to remember that you ate in this place, so I have to change the circumstance in order to do tshuva. What about that second tshuva that has nothing to do with the circumstances? It's your raising your own failing point. Must you know your own sin in order to do tshuva? You don't. You can reach a level of tshuva without really knowing that you committed a sin. So this is what the Rambam means. The Rambam is talking about the Seira Mishtaleach will help you. Even if you don't know the sin that you committed, Ubevashi also tshuva, he's talking about the real tshuva. No, the tshuva that doesn't require the changing of the circumstances. I change, not the circumstances. So for that, the child, the Torah, is tshuva. In other words, becoming a higher level of Torah in itself causes you to become a Baal tshuva without thinking about any specific thing. Okay.